Haunted Houses by Andrew Green. It was estimated in the early 1960s that some 10,000 haunted sites existed in Britain, but the majority of these were private houses and included cases of poltergeist activity, which are nothing to do with ghosts. Although over 150 cases of hauntings are reported each year, it is doubtful if 10% of these are genuine. Even with these statistics, it means that there are several hundreds, possibly thousands, of properties which contain or house ghosts of some sort. Castles, stately homes, churches, cinemas, factories and private houses are all included in the haunted property category, anywhere where people have lived, worked, played or died. Many people now accept the existence of ghosts as fact, and in view of the evidence gathered during many centuries, it would be difficult to deny that phenomena, though not yet accepted by all scientists, are experienced by people all over the world and in every walk of life. Latest surveys indicate that over 80% have experienced or believe in the existence of some form of hauntings or incidents of inexplicable phenomena. Ghosts have been written about as far back as Roman times. Pliny wrote about them nearly 2,000 years ago, and there is a strong indication that Eastern races accepted the appearance of their forefathers centuries before this. Some archaeologists claim that ancient wall drawings illustrate spirits of the dead. They were certainly an accepted part of life centuries ago, when perhaps senses were more acute than today. In the 16th century, Emperor Maximilian of Austria called upon troops to ensure that there were no ghosts in the hotels in which he intended to stay. In New Guinea, the Tambaran, a ghost called upon to join the village festivities, is impersonated by the natives themselves, and similar ceremonies are carried out by the Pueblo Indians. In the 1600s, an Egyptian necromancer, who left the protective circle of magic symbols too quickly because he was anxious to converse with the dead whom he had raised, was crushed by the enraged ghost. Feasts to the dead, for the benefit of the spirits, were powerful events in ancient China, and in Japan, ghosts are believed to appear with three eyes and without legs, to haunt only old houses. The question of ghosts, phantoms, apparitions, call them what you will, first started to gain national publicity in Britain in the 17th century, partly due to the advent of witchcraft. One of the incidents which produced a lot of interest was at the Palace of Woodstock in 1649. On examination of the reports, one realizes that the trouble was poltergeist activity, as were many of the early cases, including the famous Epworth Rectory hauntings, which involved the Reverend Samuel Wesley in 1716 to 1717. The ghost of a house in Cock Lane in London gained such notoriety in 1762 as to attract large numbers of sightseers, but, like many of its predecessors, it should have been described as normal poltergeist activity, or, more accurately, a case of psychokinetic energy. This human power is strong enough to move a heavy table across a room, throw a glass to the floor, remove bedclothes, or just carry out a simple operation like opening a door. This force is believed to be dormant in everyone, though at times such as moments of stress, emotional upset or trauma, it can unconsciously make itself evident. In some individuals it can be developed and controlled to such an extent that equipment can be operated by means of this thought power, mind over matter, in fact. So poltergeist phenomena are associated only with people and not with buildings. Therefore, if poltergeists are not real ghosts, what constitutes a phantom? To be strictly accurate, a ghost is an apparition of a dead person or animal unrecognized by a witness with no knowledge of the individual seen. Another definition is given to the increasing number of cases of phantoms of the living, which are now being recorded. How many genuine modern ghosts are those of living people? Because of the increasing number of ghosts, this question will never be answered. And, of course, if a ghost of a living person appears one week, it may be a normal haunting the next due to the death of the individual in the interim period. It must be admitted that this is unlikely, for hauntings by live people in the majority of cases stop when the person dies. This certainly happened in a cottage in Mountfield in Sussex, at a baker's shop in Heathfield, and a large 18th-century property in Bromley, Kent. It must be remembered that whilst in 1886 a survey established that 10% of the population had witnessed ghosts, over half of the phantoms actually related to living people. How then is a ghost created? The short answer is by mental strain, but to enlarge on this point, it is necessary to accept the existence of telepathy, still a slightly controversial subject, though there are many leading scientists who accept the phenomenon. If someone suffers a severe shock, such as receiving notification of or witnessing the death of a close friend, pet or relative, their immediate concentrated thoughts are of that particular person or animal. A mental picture is created of that person in a favourite or normal situation, or one in which the person was last seen, or one in which they met their death. This may be sitting in a certain chair in the garden, or being beheaded at the Tower of London. It is likely, according to some experts, that because of the intensity of thought, the image is set at that particular locality. Someone in the area whose mind is not active at that moment may then see the ghostly picture, but, of course, assume that it is of a normal person or animal until, perhaps, it walks through a wall. One of the better-known ghosts, that of Catherine Howard, is seen at Hampton Court Palace running along a corridor to plead for her life with Henry VIII. This ghost was created, perhaps, by Catherine herself, picturing herself in that pitiful situation minutes later, or by the king suffering mental torment whilst in the chapel hearing his wife screaming and begging to be saved. Those who see her phantom, therefore, might have the same sort of mind pattern at that moment as Catherine Howard or King Henry. Claimed to be one of the oldest phantoms was that reported by an archaeologist in 1927, who saw a Stone Age man riding a horse across a field in Dorset. Unfortunately, there seems to be some doubt about the authenticity of this haunting, but other early ghosts in Britain relate to Roman soldiers in York and in Dover, Kent. An exciting archaeological discovery was made by Dr. Ian Stead of the British Museum in 1985, which revealed spectacular new evidence for ghost hunting, or more accurately, ghost killing. 7 spears had been thrown at one of the skeletons buried in an Iron Age chariot site whilst it lay on the earth, and a further 7 thrust into the soil whilst the grave was being filled in. This provides strong evidence of the ritual killing of a corpse to ensure that the ghost did not return to haunt the living some 2,500 years ago. A major misconception is that ghosts are always seen at night. Figures prove otherwise, for 84% are witnessed during the hours of daylight, and only 1% at any time approaching midnight. Hauntings have been witnessed in fields, factories, on beaches and in cinemas, but seldom in churchyards. Although parapsychology, the modern academic study of the paranormal, including ghosts and hauntings, remains controversial, it can be seen to provide a greater understanding of the workings of the human mind, to the benefit, in some cases, of those suffering from what they believe to be disturbing factors of phenomena. It is now possible for postgraduates to obtain doctorates in science or philosophy through research projects connected with the supernatural. Some people also believe that historical and archaeological information can be gained by the study of ghosts. In the stately home of Longleat in Wiltshire, it was a legend that the second Viscount Weymouth murdered his wife's lover and buried the corpse somewhere in a cellar. The phantom of the sorrowing wife was frequently seen in the locality, and then, earlier this century, a male skeleton in 200-year-old clothing was discovered at the spot where the apparition always vanished. The medical profession already accept that phantoms are seen, though more likely by those who have just lost a close friend or relative, and that they act as temporary tranquilizers. Other statistics suggest that witnesses are likely to be adolescents, those with minds uncluttered or unaffected by the problems of modern living. Some people wonder about the authenticity of photographs, which, it is claimed, feature apparitions. Unfortunately, in the early days of spirit photography, many frauds and hoaxes produced deliberate fakes. It is now realized that certain types of easily obtained films, if used in the more popular models of cameras without bloomed lenses, can register images in electromagnetic wavelengths outside the average human spectrum. In other words, ghosts can be photographed. One recent line of investigation in this particular sector, however, is pursuing the idea of photographing thoughts. In 1912, a Mrs. Priestley of Wadhurst in Sussex, whilst on holiday in Westmorland, was photographed by her father on the moors. The resultant print showed not only the young married woman, but also the image of a very young girl identical to that of Mrs. Priestley when she was 6 years of age. Only a few years ago, a book was published featuring photographs of places and people produced by a man, Ted Serios, thinking of the pictures. In the 1960s, a couple of Canadian visitors, uninterested in ghosts, visited the National Maritime Museum in the Queen's House at Greenwich, London. Like many tourists, they took a number of photographs, one being of the Tulip Staircase. When the film was developed, they and their friends were astounded to see that one of the pictures showed a ghostly, cowled figure climbing what had been an empty stairway. Until then, nobody had reported any phenomena, but the publicity prompted staff to recall hearing peculiar footsteps and unusual shapes near the stairs. But whether ghost voices can be recorded is doubtful, though some claim to be able to provide tapes proving the existence of contact with such entities. It will be a long time, though, before genuine parapsychologists accept this sort of evidence, even though tape recordings of phantom footsteps and other mysterious noises have been made. Modern ghost hunters perhaps forget that what was probably one of the first psychic researchers, an earlier name for the subject, was a Greek called Athenodorus, who carried out his own personal ghost hunt over 2,000 years ago. But methods have changed somewhat over the years. One of the first Englishmen to become seriously involved in this field was Dr. John Dee, who carried out some interesting experiments into telepathy in Elizabethan times. So ghost hunting is certainly not new. To be a genuine ghost hunter, one needs a rational outlook, an inquisitive and adaptable mind, a sense of humour, and a good memory. In other words, the attributes of a detective, sorting out the genuine from the hoax and the imaginative from the accurate. Basic equipment consists of a notebook and a pencil, with more sophisticated equipment like digital thermometers, tape recorders, camcorders and high-tech electronic response units being obtained as one develops the interest. One other thing that is needed is a haunted site, and a selection of ghost-ridden properties are now offered for your interest, knowledge and, perhaps, an occasional thrill. One of Britain's first haunts, Tedworth or Tidworth House in Hampshire, became famous in 1661 for its phantom drummer, believed to be William Drury, whose drum was confiscated by the owner of the house, John Mompesson. In the weird fortress of Hermitage Castle, Newcastleton, Roxburghshire, site of numerous brutal murders and torture, a forbidding solitary ruin amid eerie surroundings, visitors and local travellers are liable to hear blood-curdling screams issuing from the ancient walls. Whether they are from Sir Alexander Ramsay, boiled to death in molten lead, or from some of the victims of his numerous murders, nobody knows. Mitchellham Priory, East Sussex, is a 13th-century building haunted by the ghost of a previous owner, a lady in a grey gown, seen leading a small brown dog near the entrance kiosk. In November 1980, whilst surveying the property with the chairman of the management committee, the administrator, Mr. A.C. Gottlieb, was astonished to see a window in an empty upstairs storeroom open by itself. Both men later examined the locked room, but found no explanation for the incident. Several people over the last few years have seen an unidentifiable ghost at the top of the early 13th century tower of Spofforth Castle near Harrogate, North Yorkshire, although the stairs are blocked. The phantom is described as bluish-white in colour, and only the top half of the figure is seen before it falls to the lawn surrounding the ruin. At Leven's Hall, near Kendal, Cumbria, two female phantoms, one of a grey lady and the other wearing a pink dress and cap, have been witnessed recently, but more often seen is the ghostly black dog which frequents the main stairway. Seen in the grounds of Goodridge Castle, Herefordshire, during stormy nights, are three ghosts, a horseman with a lady sitting pillion behind, riding furiously towards the river. At Muckle's Castle, Kincardineshire, the phantom of a green lady is believed to appear in one of the dining rooms on the first floor. She is believed to be that of a girl drowned at the entrance to an underground tunnel beneath the castle. And at Salmsbury Hall, Preston, Lancashire, the ghost of Dorothy Southworth haunts a corner of the garden where her lover was murdered in the 16th century. Site of the popular film The Haunting, Ettington Park, Stratford-upon-Avon, Warwickshire, is the original home of the Shirley family, claimed to be one of the oldest in the country. The phantom of a lady in a long white flowing gown has been seen at dusk in the cloister-like area adjoining the main entrance. In 1960, at Castle Rushen, Castleton, Isle of Man, four young boys saw the strange figure of a woman dressed in black, complete with black or dark hands and something hanging from her headdress, standing silently on the Eagle Tower when the castle was empty. There was a similar incident in 1937, but the ghost, for that is what the strange apparition is, remains unidentified. Resembling a pleasant old farmhouse, Chingle Hall at Goosner, near Preston in Lancashire, is one of the most haunted buildings in Britain, and one of the oldest, for it was built in 1260. The hauntings include that of a ghostly monk, a peculiar light, the sound of footsteps and wall tapping. One disturbing thought is that the head of St. Wall, executed in 1679, is hidden somewhere in the house. The ancient 12th century Prittlewell Priory near Southend in Essex, partially covered by 19th century additions, houses a wooden chest once owned by a 19th century witch, and the mysterious figure of a monk is seen near the minstrel's gallery. Numerous visitors to the 17th century manor house of Lawton Hall, Cockermouth, Cumbria, have seen the ghost of a woman in grey, and heard the rustling of a dress between 5 and 7:30 in the morning, while at Gawsworth Hall, Macclesfield, Cheshire, not only the 15th century hall, but also the church and the rectory have been associated with phenomena at one time or another. One of the most recent incidents was the smell of incense experienced in a bedroom situated below a priest's hole. Gonalston Mill, Nottingham, is a large private house built over the Dover Beck, which has long been reputed to be haunted by the sound of children's cries, and occasionally by the appearance of two small boys in ragged clothing. In a house with an awful history of 20 suicides and a murder in Montpellier Road, Ealing, London, the weird odour of sulphur and sounds of phantom footsteps walking through the walls were experienced for many years before it was demolished in 1971. A photograph taken in 1944, when the property was empty, appears to show in a window the image of a young girl, possibly one of the suicides. In the centre of Pluckley, Kent's most haunted village, the Black Horse pub once suffered some mysterious poltergeist phenomena and still experiences an inexplicable sound of footsteps. And a bloody footprint is preserved on the stone floor in the corridor of Smithills Hall, Bolton, Greater Manchester, a 14th century mansion, as a reminder of the death of George Marsh in the 1600s. But the ghost is believed to be that of another priest seen gliding through the green room. The Seven Stars, Roberts Bridge, East Sussex. This 14th century pub, known for the legendary ghost of a red monk, has been genuinely affected by poltergeist activity since 1971. In 1993, a saucer of carrots was thrown by an unseen force across the kitchen, and the flex of a vacuum cleaner rewound itself. The Tower of London is probably the most haunted building in London, and ghosts of Anne Boleyn, the Countess of Salisbury, Sir Walter Raleigh, and the Duke of Northumberland have all been witnessed over the years. The most popular phantom, and the one most recently seen, however, was that of Lady Jane Grey, standing by a window in the Bloody Tower. Two historical phantoms inhabit a delightful old property at Beely Abbey, Maldon, Essex. One is an unknown being whose impression is sometimes found on a bed in the unused James's bedroom, and the other an unearthly wailing heard only on the 11th of August each year. The creepy noise is believed to be that of Sir John Gate bemoaning his forthcoming death. Ford Abbey near Chard, Somerset, is haunted by a monk who could be associated with some 13th-century legal troubles here. He is occasionally seen gliding along the monk's walk through the cloisters. And no collection of haunted houses would be complete without the famous Royal Castle of Glamis, Angus, in Scotland, containing the secret ghost. But others are well known. These include the Grey Lady of the Chapel, sounds of phantom men shouting in an empty room, and the mysterious face at the window. Still in Scotland, Duntroon Castle, Loch Gilped, Argyll, is a magnificent and rather sombre 12th-century baronial castle. It's haunted by the sounds of a piper, brutally murdered in the 17th century, who also, it seems, causes strange knockings on doors and weird footsteps. And at St. Andrew's Cathedral, Fife, over 250 years ago, a monk was brutally murdered in the Tower of the Wall, and his friendly phantom has been experienced several times since. Facing the site of Borley Rectory, Borley Church in a small Essex village has experienced sounds of the organ being played at night, the ghost of a young woman, and mysterious footsteps on the path leading to the door. The original coach house of Borley Rectory once adjoined the most haunted house in England, which was burnt down in 1939. This surviving reminder was itself haunted by weird footsteps and mysterious bangs and crashes. The hallway of a private house in Kent, Boys Hall, is haunted by a mysterious white smock with a slashed sleeve, footsteps, and an unseen dog, while a host of ghosts can be found in one of Britain's best-known historical houses, Woburn Abbey in Bedfordshire. Doors between the green and rose bedrooms continually open and close. Something scares the house dogs in the north wing, and in the crypt a figure in a brown habit has been observed by the Duchess of Bedford. Corfe Castle in Dorset. Here the spectre of a headless woman has appeared, standing silently near the main gateway. A local historian feels that she may be associated in some way with the manor house in the village. Puttenden Manor near Lingfield, Surrey, a popular historical home housing controversy, for the previous owners claim it was never haunted. Others state that the spectre of a lady has been seen fairly frequently in the master bedroom. Mysterious scratchings from a phantom pet monkey accidentally walled up behind some panelling, ghostly duelists and even headless men sitting down to dinner are claimed to be some of the spectral occupants of Athelhampton, a fine medieval house in Dorset. The ghost of a beautiful young lady has been seen in the hall of Bramshill Police College, Hartley Wintney in Hampshire. She is associated with the legend of the mistletoe bough. And legend has it that the ghost of a black friar was seen in Newstead Abbey, Lindby, Nottinghamshire, by Lord Byron, but it is he who now sits in the corridor beneath his own portrait. As with many former royal establishments, the well-known palace of Hampton Court in London offers a wide variety of phantoms and apparitions. Catherine Howard continues to run along the haunted gallery, and Cardinal Wolsey has now joined the group, having been seen standing under an archway during a theatrical performance in 1966. The ghost of a commoner, a lady in grey, has also been witnessed recently. Crossing the sea to Northern Ireland, Spring Hill in County Derry is one of the few National Trust houses boasting of a ghost who has dwindled from that of a woman walking the stairs whilst wringing her hands in sorrow to sounds of firm footsteps when the building is empty during the day. Hawley the Wood, Bolton, in Greater Manchester. A Christmas ghost inhabits this 15th-century manor house owned by the Corporation of Bolton. Though never seen, he is heard between the 25th of December and the 6th of January, running up the 17th century staircase. An unusual manifestation at Chiswick House in London is the smell of frying bacon in the north wing, where the original kitchens were before being removed over a century ago. Among other weird incidents experienced at the Manvers Arms, Radcliffe-on-Trent, Nottinghamshire, once the site of a mortuary, a member of staff felt a cold hand touch her face. The owner's dogs refused to enter the cellars, and beer barrels were found to have been mysteriously moved. On a number of occasions, a small white figure has been seen passing from the kitchen of Castle Restaurant, Sunbury-on-Thames, Surrey, to the living room. The soldier's room, once used by Cromwell's troops, also has its own atmosphere, even though it now forms a lady's lavatory. A ghost of the living was experienced at Richmond Palace in London in 1603, when Queen Elizabeth was seen at a window, even though she was lying in bed dying. Rumours of the gatehouse still being haunted continue. And at Old Croydon Palace, the pitiful wraith of a mother walks the long passages searching for her lost child. In the 18th century, the palace was used as a school for lost orphans, thus providing a clue as to the period of the emotional disaster. Elvey Farm at Pluckley in Kent is one of the many haunted properties in the most haunted village of Britain. This farmhouse contains an unseen walker who threw a saddle and a bowl to the floor, and there is a regular smell of burning wool. In the Lion Hotel, Nightimber, West Sussex, an invisible phantom has been heard to walk through rooms 5 and 6 of this ancient hotel at 3 a.m. The rustling of heavy silken robes has also been heard, and occasionally the figure of a tall lady in dark grey or blue has been witnessed. Sawston Hall, Cambridgeshire, a classical haunted house, where sounds of a spinet being played were heard. A figure in grey has regularly been seen in the grounds, and another phantom witnessed in the tapestry room. Bewley Abbey in Hampshire, a regular haunt of phantom monks accepted by local residents and the owner, Lord Montague. Ghostly footsteps and the smell of incense have also been experienced here. At New Romney Priory in Kent, the ghosts of two monks have been seen at the top of the stairs, and the sound of footsteps walking along an empty corridor has been frequently heard, while Littlecote House near Hungerford, Berkshire, has a renowned haunting caused by Will Darrell, murderer of his own newborn baby, and its mother, who is believed to be his sister. Beneath one of the trees in the grounds of the ruins of a Franciscan monastery at Winchelsea Church, East Sussex, the phantom of a highwayman has been seen waiting for his next victim. In the road beside the church, phantom horses are frequently heard coming up the hill from Rye. In Southern Ireland, Kilkee Castle Hotel, County Kildare, a modern hotel incorporated into the oldest inhabited castle in Ireland, offers 55 luxury rooms, an incredible legend, and the phantom voice of a female on the roof. And finally, although not seen by the owners, a happy ghost of a teenage girl in a blue dress has been witnessed in the garden of Manor House, Bramcote in Nottinghamshire. While in Battle, East Sussex, can be found three properties affected by the Battle Triangle, in which the phantom of a 6-year-old ginger-haired girl has been seen. She transmits so much love and affection that witnesses feel they want to cuddle her. That is the end of Haunted Houses by Andrew Green.